Welcome to Horseshoe.
Okay, remember when we recorded this Amityville like 4 months ago?
This was 10 years ago. I was 2 years old when we recorded this. I'm 12 now.
How long legitimately ago did we...
Well, I just think we recorded this once with Hillary.
With Hillary.
And then what happened with that?
Hillary got a new computer,
right,
and
the
she didn't plug her mic in, and then she recorded all of us on the same track.
You're
and
right.
then it just didn't work.
So then we re-recorded
yes.
this. It's probably been, what's this month? It's almost November.
It's basically November.
October,
it's Halloween right now.
September, August, July. I think it was like July.
I feel like it was July.
You dick. This is your fault.
So this is an older Amityville, if you didn't catch that.
This is a vintage Amityville.
Kim is sitting next to me right now, and we're trying to record the next Amityville today.
If Caleb will wake the fuck up.
I'm awake now. It's what, 12:30?
Yeah.
It's 12:30.
Listen,
I'm awake. Look, this is early.
I'm going to shower. I'm going to eat some... I'm going to eat some razzles. You know what I'm
going to do? A nice balanced
razzle
breakfast.
I'm going to drink some of that coffee because that was good.
Uh-huh.
And when I get out, if you're not finished with every Amityville in the series.
Wait, what?
Yeah.
I'm watching all the Amityvilles
yes.
in the series?
Yes.
Okay.
Not the ones that we've already watched, but new ones.
Oh, okay, okay. Yeah,
so
yeah,
the
yeah.
remaining 50. If they're not watched, it's your ass. And you're going to have a lot more than the black lung, I can tell you that.
Okay. Okay, I hope I die from the black lung before you get out of the shower.
I actually think you might.
Okay, you think it's that serious?
Yeah, we saw the black spot on your hand last night.
It has been a little rough.
Caleb's coughing up carbon, pure carbon.
But I don't think you'll hear me coughing up in this episode, because it's an older episode.
That's true, it's vintage.
I wasn't dying then.
Mm-hmm.
Also, Cleveland edited this one, so hopefully it turned out good.
Tough guy?
Yeah, tough guy edited this one. This was his first editing job, so I'm pretty proud of him. You know, he's trying his hand at editing the horror soups.
We're proud of you.
So, you know what?
Proud of you, tough guy.
Shout out, tough guy.
Great guy.
Kim,
very
do you have
tough.
Anything to say about this Amityville before we let the people?
Yes, so there's a very important poll
this
coming
one with
up.
Neil McDonough?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. Neil McDonald.
McDonough.
It's McDonough. I think it's McDonough.
Hillary corrected us on that.
It is. It's McDonough, but it looks like it'd be McDonald's restaurant.
Yeah, like Neil McDonald's. Ronald McDonald.
Ronald McDonald. You know, I feel like Ronald McDonald's is phased out in McDonald's. I haven't seen him around recently.
Yeah, I don't think you really see that guy anymore.
I don't think I've ever seen. I mean, it's probably best. He's like a clown who went and kissed like someone's lap. But I don't think I've seen a Ronald McDonald's in a McDonald's ad for ages. But anywho. The one thing I want to say about this episode before we get into it is that there's going to be a really important poll in this episode.
What?
There's a really important poll part of this episode that's going to be put up. So stay tuned and listen to this entire episode just
poll?
For the poll. You'll have to wait and see when
I'm
you listen to your
to
own
episode.
Voice.
I'm not listening to
it. Do you ever
it.
Listen to your episodes through
no.
and through and laugh at yourself?
No, never.
That's because you're a narcissist.
Don't do it. Wait, is that...
No, it's because you're a narcissist.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I got you.
Well, listen to the polls. Go to the polls. Make sure you vote.
I have to do the poll if there's a poll.
The poll what?
Are you going to do? I'll
no,
give you
I
the
can't
horse
give away the movie.
I'll give you the horse soup login and you can do the poll.
What does that even mean?
The poll.
No, Cleveland is doing the polls.
He's doing the poll?
He already did the poll. I'm just
he
letting...
He did the poll?
Yes, I'm letting the listeners know that there's going to be a poll that's going to come up.
Okay.
Not a stripper poll. Don't get excited.
Yeah.
A voting poll on Instagram, so be ready when this album gets released by Drake.
Well,
God did.
Look, well, happy Halloween. We didn't do Halloween kills. Goodbye.
But God did.
Have fun listening to this. Shut up, Kim.
God did.
If you enjoy the show, you just can't get enough of it. You wanted some more, you know, you want some more bonus stuff. You want to watch me show Kim an Amityville porno. You got to go over to patreon.com/horrorsoup because that's where you're going to find a bunch of bonus episodes and other stuff. And thank you so much to Ashley Farley, Susanna Violante, Kim Wilson, and Sydney, all the newest Patreon donors and the old ones. Kim, obviously, being one of the older ones, and a few other ones I mentioned. They've been around for a while. You guys are all cool people. Thank you so much. And if you like the show and you want to support by, like, you know, being around for social media, you know, you want to follow stuff, you want to see what's going on, Instagram is at Horror Soup. Twitter is at Horror Soup Sucks. And yeah, that's about it. See you guys in a second. Here's an intro.
Be obedient, my little deviant. Together we will find the right ingredients. We will stir the beef that is the horror soup. And the last thing you will find is a spaghetti hoop. There's eyes and flies and anything that dies. There's a nasty surprise in every can.
Okay, so I think before we get into any of this, we probably have to mention the fact that this is the second time we recorded this, and unfortunately, Hillary Barrowford isn't around for this one right now. It's just, I'm moving soon, and I did talk to her about coming back for the redo, and she was pretty down, but I just thought it was going to be a lot of work just to get another person around right now while I'm doing a bunch of shit and whatnot. So we'll get Hilldog back on this once I get across the country where we get some shit going. I actually need to hit her up, too. We need to hang out before I leave.
Yeah, Hillary, that was my first time meeting her, you know, virtually, and she was just incredible. Sad that the first recording turned out to be a wash, but if you guys want to listen, it is on Patreon. Hillary, you're great. We can't wait to record again. But you definitely need to hang out with her.
Yeah, and the episode still doesn't sound that terrible. It just didn't sound good enough to put on, like, the main feed, you know? I just always wonder about people that are worried about people that are just popping on, mm-hmm. and then they listen to a bad episode, and they're like, okay, I'm not listening to a podcast like this, so.
Yeah, fair.
Yeah, so I couldn't put it out to the main feed, but yeah, like Kim said, it is still on Patreon if you did want to go and, you know, check that out and see what Hilldog has to say about Amityville, The Unspoken.
You should, because she called out a lot of really good shit that we never would have picked up on. And I can't remember half of it, but it was like shit you would never notice or catch.
Yeah, Hillary always does that. I mean, she is definitely, she's a noticer.
She's incredible. So we're due for another episode soon, Hilldog.
Definitely are.
And you definitely need to hang out with her before you leave.
And you know, Hillary's in this movie, so it's like we still have her around.
Right, she is. She's one of the leads. One of the leads herself. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. You gave it away. I thought we were just going to build up to that. I didn't realize we were letting everybody know up front. But Hillary is in this movie, okay?
Yeah, needless it's okay. The people can know. The people can know.
Well, do you want to share with everybody live, though? You know, mention, really, what's changing in your life in about a week and a half. Cough, cough, you'll be in my quarters.
I feel like once this episode comes out, I will probably already be across the country. But, yeah, at the time of this recording, I'm leaving California in a couple weeks, not too long, probably about, like, 12 days-ish. That's the plan. We'll see how well that goes. It might end up being like a day or two later. I don't know. My plans are off, but doing my best to leave around that time. And yeah.
Joining Kentucky, the Kentucky gang.
Yeah, unfortunately.
Yeah, you talked all that shit about us. Now you're going to be one of us.
Oh, here's the thing. I'm still going to talk a lot of shit.
Okay, but as long as you wear overalls and hang out in the cornfields with us, we're fine.
Negotiable.
James actually Devante hand stitched a pair of overalls just for you with the different horror suit patches on them, so like you have to wear them. He spent so much time, like James and I literally like watched him just sit in the basement and do this for hours, and he was crying because he's like, I love Caleb so much, I love the podcast, like this is the least I could do. So
I will never wear that.
Wow, what a host you are, Devante. If you're listening to this, you can send me the overalls. He is. He's probably listening right now. He's probably tapped our houses and is listening.
Okay, so we do have a movie to speak about. It is a movie that we've already discussed, and we kind of lightly watched, if I'm going to be completely honest. I mean, I don't think Kim... I know the way Kim watches Amityville movies, so I can't imagine on the second go she paid more attention. She probably paid less attention than she did the first time. I did watch most of it. I fell asleep for like the last 20-ish minutes or something like that. But I do remember the last 20 minutes was really the only part that I remembered. So I think it'll be fine.
Yeah, I think I remember a lot. But again, like to Caleb's point, you guys know how I watch these Amityville movies. So we'll see. No promises.
And this is a strange one because the last few we've done, you wouldn't recognize a single person in the movie. This one, we do have some recognizable people in this. I'd say three. We have Lachlan.
Three. Well, I forgot he's in here. I keep forgetting he's in here.
We have Lachlan Monroe. We have Neil McDonough. And we have Jodell? Yeah, Jodell. That's such a weird... I feel like that's a weird sounding name.
It doesn't sound like Jodell. It sounds very Midwest. Jodell.
The first half sounds like it is a name, and the second half sounds like it lost it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's the D. The Jodell. Yeah.
I don't know. So we have Jodell Ferland, who is from Twilight Breaking Dawn. She is the kid with a ridiculous name. You all know her.
Oh,
you all love her.
I thought you were talking about the little boy. We have four then, because the little boy's from mid-90s and Killing of a Sacred Deer, remember?
Oh, for real?
Yeah. Yeah, he's the creepy little boy in Killing of a Sacred Deer.
I don't think I've ever watched either of those.
Mid-90s is pretty good. It takes place in Cali, too. You got to check it out.
Wait a second. Hold on.
It's Jonah Hill's like directorial debut. Yeah, he's in both of those. So we have four. I kind of forgot she was in Twilight.
Wait, no. Hold on. We got to go back for a second. We got to re-say some of that. She's a different chick from Twilight.
Okay.
I think we watched something else recently, or maybe I watched something else recently, or around this time.
And there was the daughter from Twilight? It was in one of our other episodes.
Yeah, you did that with me, right?
And I don't remember what movie it was, but it was the daughter, because I don't watch Twilight, so I don't remember which girl it was, but I remember you saying, this is the daughter from Twilight.
No, yeah, I thought that was this, but...
Now it's bothering me what movie that was.
I thought that was this chick, honestly. I feel like she kind of looks like... No, it's Mackenzie Foy. That's who plays her.
Will you go to the cast, which movie she's been in? Because now it's bothering me what movie we watched.
Yeah, I'm
going to
look right now. Mackenzie Foy was in... Oh, I think she was in The Conjuring.
Oh, right.
It was The Conjuring.
Duh. Okay, makes sense. Speaking of which, we have to do that one soon, right? Isn't The Conjuring 2 coming up?
Yeah, unfortunately. Yeah, I wasn't looking at my notes for any of that. I was kind of just like calling all these actors out off the top of my head.
I wouldn't have caught it until you corrected it. So
yeah, I wanted to double check because it felt like a little wrong.
So now you know. Okay, so we do have three big ones: the little boy instead of her, Neil McDonough.
I mean, she's still in Breaking Dawn. She's Bree. She's someone else, but she's just not. No, yeah, she's just not the little girl that I thought she was. I mean, she's not Renesmee. She's not fucking Robert Pattinson and Kristen Stewart's kid.
Okay. I mean, she still is in Case 39 and Silent Hill, too. So she's been in a couple.
Yeah, I did notice that. And I think, is she the daughter in Silent Hill?
Yeah, she is. Mm-hmm. Her face. That's why I was like, I recognize her face.
See, I recognized her face completely as well. And I thought that's why she was the chick from Twilight.
She's a little haunted. But... She's a little like dead haunted girl or whatever in Silent Hill.
Oh, she's not like the main girl?
I don't think so. I think she's the dead haunted one with like the blue glowing eyes.
I think.
It's been such a long time since I've seen that movie. Because I'm pretty sure the daughter was blonde, right?
You might be right. I never remember what she looks like. Yeah, you're probably right.
It's been a minute since I've seen that movie. Okay, now we have four. So yeah, we should redo that because there's four big ones.
Yeah, so this Amityville is a little bit weird because we actually have some actors and actresses in this. I mean, we have Jodell Ferland, who was in the Twilight Breaking Dawn series as Bree. Not series, I mean, like those were sequels to the movie, but you guys know what I mean, whatever. Apparently you said we have Sonny Soljak. Soljak is how you say his name?
Yeah. He was from, Killing of the Sacred Deer, which is a great indie horror movie. And then Mid-90s, which was a drama directed by Jonah Hill.
Was Mid-90s the one with all the kids that were like...
skateboarding and just smoking all day. It was like the modern day version of Kids, but not nearly as graphic.
I can't remember if I saw that or if it's a different movie I'm thinking of that came around. Did it come out like around COVID time? Beginning of COVID time?
Yeah, I think like a couple years before. Like it probably came out in like 2015, 2016.
Oh, never mind then. That's not the movie I'm thinking of.
It was pretty good.
Okay. Anyway, we also have Lachlan Monroe and we have Neil McDonough, who I believe we've talked about Neil McDonough a few times before. But Lachlan Monroe, I know him personally mainly... as, I mean, I know you're going to yell at me right now, but mainly I know as Hal Cooper from Riverdale. But yes, also as fucking Jake from White
Chicks.
And Greg in Scary Movie. But yeah, no, I just watched White Chicks the other day and he popped up and I was like, oh, here's this fucking guy again. Like, I kind of forget about him. He has such a weird face that I feel like he has the smallest face in the world.
Yeah, like to me, when I see him, I'm just like Greg from Scary Movie.
I feel like I think of the White Chicks before Scary Movie. You know what's crazy though? I just watched when I was coming back from Boston about a month ago. I watched an old Clint Eastwood movie, like an old Western.
Which one?
Unforgiven.
Okay, my mom owns all of them. She used to be obsessed with Clint Eastwood. Fun fact.
My grandpa as well. Do you remember when he came on the show and he didn't say anything about Killer Clowns from Outer Space whatsoever? Nothing. But he kept going, what's that Clint Eastwood movie? The Pale Rider?
Pale Rider. You need to somehow, before you leave, you got to get a clip at least or a snippet of your grandpa in an episode.
I've tried many times. He always says no.
I think my mom's favorite. Go ahead.
He's going to drive to Kentucky with me.
Oh yeah, just record him.
I'm just gonna I could record him during that while he's driving, or also when we get there I could just have James already have some podcast gear set up and I'll just make him do a podcast with me.
You should do both, like record him without him knowing while you guys are like traveling, like a vlog, and then you should do one, like, you know, impromptu with James.
Be so pissed, it'll be hilarious. But yeah, so I watched Unforgiven, and he's also in that, Mr. Lachlan.
Yeah, he is, which we were not expecting. Remember when we watched this, we were not expecting to see his face.
No, I never expect to see his face. It always feels like he shouldn't be there, but he has a lot of roles. This dude has 260 acting roles.
Shit.
Yeah, I didn't even, damn. I mean, it makes sense because I do feel like I've seen him in a lot of things, but holy shit, this guy has been working.
Lachlan Monroe. Oh, the reason why you probably thought his name was with a U, because his last name is spelled M-U-N-R-O.
Yeah, I think so. I was calling him Lachlan earlier, and then Kim said Lachlan, and I was like, no, that's not Lachlan. I didn't see the O, and then I was like, oh, wait, yeah, that's definitely Lachlan. And not like in a way that I've never heard the name Lachlan before. I'm very familiar with that name. I thought I saw a U for whatever reason.
He was in Freddy vs. Jason.
What? Oh, wait, was he one of the kids? I think I remember his face in that now, actually.
It's been a long time since I've seen Freddy vs. Jason.
I think he's one of the main kids in that group, because they have a group of, like, what, five-ish kids,
it's just a pretty decent-sized group.
God, that's crazy.
Interesting.
Anyway,
he does a lot of credits.
I mean, we also have Neil McDonough, who we've mentioned before. God, what do I know him the most from?
He reminds me of Yellowstone, because I just recently watched it, and he was in that.
I know him from Arrow. He's, the fuck is he in Arrow again?
I didn't watch Arrow, but I know you and Hillary were talking about this. He always plays the really good bad guy, usually.
Yeah, he's Damian Dark in Arrow.
Okay.
Which is a bad guy, so.
Okay. Yeah, he has like really piercing eyes, so I feel like he does really well for a bad guy role, but he's actually a good guy in this movie.
Yeah, he does look terrifying. I feel like he's played cops fairly often, and then he also does like the good guy pretty well. I mean, he's a good actor. This movie does have some good actors in it. It's questionable, though. It's strange. Is it better than the last few? Is it better than the last few Amityvilles? Yes.
Yeah, unfortunately, which says a lot.
Except for Haunting, because Haunting is still pretty fun. I don't know.
And Playhouse has some funny moments. I really liked Playhouse.
Okay, yeah, there were a couple moments in Playhouse that were pretty fucking funny. I want to... When I get out there toward this Midwest era, you got to come out and we got to rewatch like that era again. Just like those five in a row, because Kim, you got to hear me out. We've been arguing for the last like five episodes about which one we like when we keep going back and forth and we can't remember. I feel like we need to watch all those back to back, like with James, just get blasted drunk, sit down, watch all of them back to back.
Here's the thing. I will watch Playhouse and Haunting because those ones are hilarious. The other ones I know
Which
are
one?
Trash.
Asylum. We have to watch Asylum too, though. Kim.
Asylum had some funny parts, but Asylum was long.
I keep telling you that... No, but that's what I've been saying. I keep telling you that I hate Asylum, and you're like, no, Asylum's better than this one or that one or whatever.
Because you were saying that Asylum was better than... what was the one we just...
Probably this
Death
one.
House. You were saying that Death House was better than Asylum, which was not true.
No, I still agree with that.
No. False. False.
This is why we have to watch those back to back. That's only like 4 or 5 Amityville's. It's really not too bad. We've been kind of going slow on them lately.
We have. Okay.
Well, to be fair, we did.
I will agree. I'll meet you halfway.
To be fair, though, we did do this one a couple months ago, but it got destroyed, and I think it kind of put a bitter taste in our mouths. And then, like, we were also both just kind of busy.
We need a break.
We were like, you know what? We'll do this in a little bit. We'll get back to this one.
It was like almost a 3-hour episode, too, you guys. That.
That last, I mean, you could, like Kim said, you could still listen to it, but yeah, that episode is, I think, actually 3 hours or damn
near.
Yeah,
for those of you who have probably been like, it's been a minute since we've talked to Amityville, there's a reason why. When you record one episode for 3 hours, it takes it out of you.
It takes it out of you, dude. And I was ready to edit that episode, but there were actual technical issues that were stopping me from doing what I was doing, and it made me like, I was 15 minutes into editing it, because I think the first 15 minutes sounds probably like pretty good, and then it kind of falls off after that. But it took me probably like an hour and a half or 2 hours to edit that part. And I was like, you know what? I'm not doing this.
I remember when you texted me, because I was at dinner with my friend, and Caleb just texted me and said,
every
like,
time
something
I text
really
him,
cryptic. You were like,
no,
I have
I
really bad
Kim,
news. You called, no. You called
no,
me
I
like
said,
twice.
I said, I have bad news.
And then, but yeah, but this came after you had called me twice. So I looked out at my phone and I'm like, Bree's dead. That was my first instinct. I was like, Bree is dead.
Kim jumps to the most insane conclusions immediately. She called me back and goes, who died? I go, what?
You've
what are you
never
talking
called
about?
Me back to back and then sent me a text and said, I have some bad news.
I feel like I've done that multiple times.
Okay, but then you were like, no one's dead. But the Amityville episode we did was pretty fucked. And I was like, all right, that's just as bad.
You were like, oh, we have to. And then when Kim's planning this, she texts me and goes, okay, what's the next Amityville? And I go, Unspoken. And she's, like, arguing with me. She goes, no, we can't do that again. I go, what do you mean? We can't just skip it and not put it out just because we fucked up?
Yeah, like, I was just, it was the 3-hour time investment. And, like, all the talking points we had already made with Hillary that I was like, we can't do this. Not here, not now. It was a hard pill to swallow.
I know, but it's still out there. This is just a different one. It's happened before. It's going to happen again. That's just how this shit goes sometimes, unfortunately. But here's the thing. We did do a little extra this time. Me and Kim watched 1 minute of one short and then watched a full short with me right after she ditched out on me for the other short.
Okay, but in my defense, do you want to explain what the short was, the first one that you made me watch?
I'd rather not.
Yeah, I'd rather you not either. Let's just pretend it didn't happen.
It was porn.
And it was sent to us. I will say, we do have to plug the listener, because this was dedication, I will say. As much as I didn't want to watch what they sent or requested, do you want to explain what you got from this listener?
I will say, let's see. The listener was Rhea Higg 8. So Rhea Higg said, thought you might appreciate this. And the title of the email is Found Another Amityville, and it has a link, and then it says, love your show, and Kim. And the link brings you to xnxx.com/video-13q02db6/family-strokes_amityville_hyphen_amityville. And when you get there...
I wonder how many people just typed in that hyperlink right now.
Well, when you get there, it is an Amityville-based incest porn.
Yeah, fuckfam.com.
But to be fair, isn't every single porno video in existence past, like, 2015 incest porn? Is it possible to find porn that isn't incest porn about it?
I'm
it's always step bro, fuck stepsister, fucking my stepmom, brah.
I'm pretty sure I saw on social media like a few years ago there was a meme, like a map. You know how they do like favorite fast food chains by region or state? And like your state will have. They did that with porn and like top searches, and I'm pretty sure the Midwest, of course, was like incest. And I was like, God fucking damn it. I was like, why are we like this?
See, that's so weird.
Feeding
like,
the stereotype.
Because I know at this point, like, that one of the top searches is like step bro, step sis, and shit like that, because like every title, and like I know it's still weird, but I feel like I can almost understand that more than people just searching straight up incest, because I feel like at that point you're not searching for even just the weird titles. I feel like at that point you're searching for something else, and you know what you're doing, and you're a sick fuck.
Yeah, just the term itself is kind of gross, kind of icky.
I think
you know?
The term itself is hilarious, but if you're doing it for very real reasons, and maybe this is like world shattering to some people, they're like, oh my god,
we're shaming people.
Is Caleb shaming incest after all he spoke about incest? We're sex all these shaming Amityville people episodes. Oh no, Kim. You know what? I don't even give a shit if this person is listening to this or is about to attack or anyone else gets pissed about this. I received an email.
Oh gosh.
When I was doing for my other show when we were covering Wrong Turn. And they were like,
oh right, you sent me this.
Yeah, they basically were like, you can't cover Wrong Turn because incest babies really exist. And I'm like, okay, yeah, obviously. I'm still gonna watch a fucking movie. What do you mean?
No, I thought they were like, you shouldn't make fun of incest, like families, because incest babies exist. And you're like,
something like that.
You're like, so you're supporting incest?
And I get it too. Like, if you're randomly born into some bullshit and you don't want to be a part of it, I get it. But you know what? I'm not gonna just not talk about a movie, because the whole point of horror is that it's taboo shit. I'm going to talk about it anyway. Rhea Higg sent us that porn. Me and Kim get on a video. Kim said that she wanted to cover a whole nother Amityville along with this. And I said, fuck no, we're not doing that. That's ridiculous.
Yeah,
I didn't want...
nix that idea.
Kim's trying to have another 3-hour episode. This is already going to be that anyway.
No, I just figured we would cover only like half an hour worth of Unspoken, do a quick like summary since we already talked about it.
I don't think that's going to happen, Kim. You don't know us. You don't know us. That's not going to happen.
I don't know us?
You don't know us.
I don't know us. My name is Kim Wilson, and I don't know us.
Yes. Yes. That is what I am saying.
It was an idea. It was an idea.
So
I couldn't get over that 3-hour time limit. That was rough.
So I suggested we do a short instead. I thought it was a good little, you know, it's a happy medium. We'll get there. And Kim agreed. So I put on a short. And for some reason, she left the Zoom call.
After it was the giant fuck like, fam banner to start with that panned across the screen.
Okay, well, I just wanted to know where the story was going.
Well, you can watch it on your own. You and Rhea. Go ahead.
Well, so I asked them, follow-up question, how did you end up on fuckfam.com? Which I didn't realize that it wasn't fuckfam.com. It was XNXX, I guess. But Kim texted me back when I sent her the link originally, and she said, why is this on fuckfam.com? And at first I didn't know what you were talking about. I already sent that email prematurely, and then I checked it, and it was on the video. So I guess it was part of fuckfam.com, and it got ported over to xnxx.com. Anyway, they said, strictly research. I make sure to do follow-ups to make sure they keep spirits under control. So, Rhea, Kim watched about a minute and a half of that porn. I'm going to put it on Patreon. I don't know if I could put porn directly on Patreon. So I think I'm going to blur the bad parts and then I'm going to upload it because I think it was a fun time.
Well, Rhea, you know what? I still respect the dedication because that's intense to do the research. We haven't yet had anybody send us Amityville porn.
This was the first time.
I would appreciate it if we didn't get any more at this point, but send them all to Caleb if you'd like.
But the thing is, if they send it to me,
we appreciate anything.
Look, I feel like Kim, I personally feel like Kim disrespected Rhea.
Don't speak about me I'm not here.
Here's the thing. They sent that so we would watch it, and you did agree on air to watch every Amityville title.
No,
yes,
I did not. I still haven't agreed to that.
You've said you're in it for the long run.
Find the footage. Run the tape.
So much
run the tape.
Can someone, please, someone listening right now, do a supercut. Go back and listen to every Amityville episode.
Run the tape.
And do
run
a supercut of everything that Kim has promised toward this Amityville
I did not
venture.
Have sexual relations with that
you know
woman.
What? When I have some extra time on my hands, I'm going to listen back to every Amityville episode we've done, and I'm going to get a clip of every single Amityville promise you've made, and I'm going to play it all at once. That's going to be a full episode. The Kim supercut.
Mm-hmm. Wasn't me. It was a doppelganger.
Happening.
Don't know her. Don't know who she is.
Okay, well, We did end up watching a short.
Let's get in the movie.
After that. It was called The Amityville Cabin, or just Amityville Cabin.
Cabin. Yeah, Amityville Cabin, which I appreciated because we haven't seen Amityville in the cabin setting yet, surprisingly, in the, any of the upcoming titles.
No,
right?
We have not. It was an A-frame cabin. It definitely took a lot of influence from Evil Dead, both with there being a book mm-hmm. that looked like it might have been bound by human flesh or something of the sort. Yes, they had cabin fever, Kim. Yes, she's showing me some kind of jar that says cabin fever on it.
I got a, candle, a candle today called Cabin Fever. Shout out to Eli Roth.
And yeah, it was very self-aware.
It was funny.
You know, the whole concept of it was that they were trying to get their production company to be very successful by doing an Amityville film, it seemed. Or maybe just a scary film of some sort. But I got the vibe that it was an Amityville film.
Yeah, I think it was supposed to be Amityville, like hard on the Amityville. Because they had the fly and everything.
Yes. He said...
And, like, the possessed little girl.
That part where he went, get me another fly.
Just one. Not, like, a whole swarm like we usually see. Just one.
I swear to God it was a raisin, but it was fucking hilarious.
Right. Where is this guy going to go get one fly from?
That was so funny.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I enjoyed it. They really got fun with the kills. Bigfoot showed up. I don't know why, but...
But we didn't actually see Bigfoot's face, just his arms.
Yeah. At one point, I would say we kind of saw his face at one point, but he kind of looked like the devil with Ewok.
And like the Grim Reaper.
With an Ewok from Star Wars.
Yes.
It was very odd. I don't know what to make of it, but you know, the kills were fun. One chick popped up at one point and they were playing this very porn-like music. And I thought another porn was about to start playing.
We literally were like, if this is another porno... That somehow made it to YouTube.
Somehow, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised, but it was a lot.
It was pretty funny. There were some pretty funny parts. You guys definitely have to watch the video on Patreon of us, our reaction video, because I think our jaws dropped a couple times.
My jaw was dropped the entire time.
There were almost some reactions, like in Haunting, when the electric, like, light falls on that guy.
No, there were a few times where that happened. Their dialogue was insane. Look, I don't have much to say about it, but that one is a 15 minute short that you can find on YouTube. Just look up Amityville Cabin 2021. I believe that's what I searched, and I found it. It just has like a cover with like it's just like four little rectangles, you know, and there's four different people's heads inside of it. It kind of looks like a documentary cover kind of thing, I'd say. Mm-hmm. Just go check it out. It was actually a lot of fun. I feel like I had more fun watching that than most of the other Amityvilles we've watched lately.
I would agree with that statement.
What would you rate it?
Ooh. 1 to 10?
No, 5. Out of 5. Out of 5.
Okay. I'm actually going to give it... Yeah, I don't know why I said 1 to 10. I'm going to give
it... 3,
right?
Yeah, it's I was going to say 3, right? Like, it was good. It was fun.
3. And it wasn't too... Like, it was perfect. It was good that it was short. If that would have been a whole movie of that...
Honestly,
no.
If it was a whole movie of that and they kept... the jokes going the same way they did and they kept the same energy the whole time, I definitely would have liked that way more than I liked still any of the other Amityvilles we've watched.
Would you have liked it more than a Mark Polonia film?
No, Amityville Death House is God.
What about Howl If I Kill You? Hands down the worst movie
so,
I've ever
Kim,
seen.
I don't even know if we spoke about this, and I know this isn't a Polonia episode anymore, but did you know that, and this is crazy, that I didn't know this. Did you know that John Polonia is dead?
Who's John Polonia?
That was his twin brother that they made a bunch of movies with before. I think Howl If I Kill You might have been one that John Polonia did with Mark Polonia, if I remember right.
I didn't know. Why do I feel like I didn't know he had a twin brother? But damn, when did this happen? Was it recent or a long time ago?
It was a good while ago.
Damn.
John Polonia died in February 25th of 2008. And
shit.
Yeah, Howl If I Kill You came out in 2003. Yeah, that was one of the movies that he directed with Mark Polonia.
Wow.
I didn't realize that he had died. Me and James were talking one day, and we were actually talking about Mark Polonia, and I was talking about John Polonia because I was like, okay, yeah, he was the dude that did Peter Rottentail with him and whatnot, and I thought maybe he just got out of the whole, you know, movie making game or something like that, because I noticed his credits only went up until 2008. There is one There is one that's like a segment in like 2018, so maybe that threw me off at some point too. I don't remember seeing it, but possibly. There's probably like a post-mortem kind of credit, but yeah, he passed away back in 2008, and kind of actually made me a lot sadder than I thought I would be, because...
That is sad. So maybe that's why... Because when's the last... I don't know. Death House was like 2015, so maybe not. For some reason, I thought he like took a hiatus from directing, but I guess he didn't. Mark? Well, damn. R.I.P. to John.
Yeah, man. You know, that shit sucks. Let me see. How did he...
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
But yeah, I know that was a very big sidetrack kind of thing, but it just bummed me out. I know we hadn't mentioned it before, and we've talked about a fair amount of Polonia Brothers movies before, and yeah, you know. Oh, damn. I found it. He died of a heart aneurysm.
Damn. Yeah,
that's a bummer, dude. It must be hard to lose a twin, too. Oh, that always kind of just, like, bums me out when I think about it.
Yeah. That's... I feel like they have a different connection, for sure. You know?
Ugh. Okay, well, damn. Bummers aside, Amityville Unspoken was written and directed by Sheldon Wilson. If I remember right, I don't think he did anything else, right? Or anything else important?
I don't think so, as he should it.
Oh, he did like... Oh, wait, Kim, no. Remember this guy? He did Shark Killer and Snowmageddon and Scarecrow.
Oh, Killer Mountain. Which I believe
wait,
I've
Kim,
seen.
Caw? He did Caw.
Oh,
the
yeah,
Scarecrow movie?
I forgot. We went through
the
these
Crow
titles.
Movie?
We went through these titles with Hillary. I have seen Snowmageddon, which we talked about. I don't remember
you
where.
You saw Snowmageddon?
Yeah, we talked about this in the last episode. Like, I'm pretty sure I've seen it. Like, that title immediately, like,
that's actually
me.
Insane.
I feel like I've seen it. I feel like it was on, like, sci-fi or some
See,
shit.
So, guys, this
I don't know. I've seen so much random
Yeah, this
shit.
Episode might be a little off because I remembered a lot more about this when I wrote the notes in the beginning. So, let's see what I wrote for who it's produced by. It's produced by a few dudes who seem like they have so much money that they'll produce anything that comes their way without even considering opening a script. And Steven Schneider, who got his start executive producing Paranormal Activity and then went on to produce a shit ton of M. Night Shyamalan movies as well as a ton of other movies, horror and otherwise.
Right. Okay, this is ringing a bell, because there was a lot of money in this movie.
Because
we talked
this was
about.
The
we're
one
like,
Amityville.
How was it this bad with these actors?
Yeah, because this is the one Amityville that has a few actors that actually had to have been paid more than $5.
Right.
It has a little more production quality.
Right. That's like not a Conjuring movie. And it still somehow was... I mean, again, it was granted it was better than the other ones we've watched, but it was still not where it should be. Especially like Neil McDonough. Like,
yeah.
I feel like they didn't utilize him as well.
Yeah, not at all. Oh, yeah, Hillary corrected me, right? It's Neil McDonough.
Yeah,
yeah,
Neil McDonough.
Yeah, I was calling him Neil McDonough.
Yeah. Oh, and this is our second... We talked about this in the last episode. This is our second Canadian...
Oh, yeah, huh.
Because Playhouse.
Okay, that's true. So I'm not sure what the budget was, but it seemed to have made around $258,000 at the box office. And with that, I can't imagine that this didn't lose money. It for sure lost money.
No, remember, I think Hillary said she estimated it would be like $1.5 million. Because Neil McDonough...
Kim made $250,000.
Like, oh, you're saying, sorry, I don't know what I was thinking. Yes, it definitely did lose money. For some reason, I was thinking you were saying the budget was a lot lower.
No, they lost money.
Yeah, no, it definitely lost money.
100%.
Yes.
And it
yes.
has a 9% by critics on Rotten Tomatoes, a 34% by audience, and a 4.9 out of 10 on IMDb, which sounds generous.
Yeah, that. Oh, yeah. We talked about that too. How the IMDb rating was a
Man,
lot
let's
higher.
Let's not talk
than...
about what we talked about before. This is a new day, Kim.
Yeah, sorry.
It's a new
day. Sorry. This is all just now ringing bells. You're right. Yeah, that is pretty generous.
To be honest, we're gonna have to talk about the same things we spoke about because my notes are exactly the same. So
that's fine. We'll pretend like it's our first
time. So we begin the film. Staring at a rosary that's wrapped around the rearview mirror in a car on October 14th of 1997, we see sirens, a cop shows up with a flashlight, and he soon notices bloody handprints all over the doors of the house that he's in front of. And because right. the rosary, and at some point the rosary somehow flips upside down. It starts shaking violently, and then it stops. So you can tell there's, you know, paranormal activity kind of stuff going on. He ventures into the house. Things are moving around, casual ghost occurrences, and then a chair gets fully thrown in the air, and the copper is on red alert. He's having a bad time.
Yeah, I didn't hate this intro. I actually kind of liked it. Like, I thought this was going to be off to a solid start when this kicked in. I was like, okay, this is on par with my expectation.
I feel like it felt like the beginning of a Conjuring movie.
Yeah, it did. It did, which was, I guess, given that I knew it wasn't a Conjuring movie, I was like, okay, better than what
yeah,
I was expecting.
Yeah, it seemed hopeful, at least.
Promising. Yeah, hopeful, I should say, not promising.
It did seem a little promising. I'd give you that, too. Either or. It didn't seem promising,
okay.
You're
okay.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, it didn't. It was more hopeful.
So eventually, a chick pops out of a random door screaming. She's covered in blood. She's like, we gotta leave, dude! The copper starts running behind her. Well, actually, I'd say he starts kind of casually walking behind her. And then a priest just falls down from the rafters, hanging by the neck.
Flies. Like, swings. Like, George of the Jungle, like, swings.
Do not know
in,
where he...
Which was
kind of
cool.
It was, but where did he come from? Why did that happen? I don't know.
No idea. We don't know. We have no idea why he flew in, but he did. And I wasn't mad about it.
It wasn't terrible. And his wrists have upside-down crosses carved into them. And, yeah, you know, we get introduced to a priest just to lose him immediately. And we don't get a priest for the rest of the movie, so...
We don't, but there was a priest, so it's already sticking to the Amityville.
And I feel
tropes.
Like we didn't get a priest in the last few, right? Or did we? It was kind of...
Was there one before this?
Death House, right?
Ooh, was there a priest?
I feel like there might have been a priest in Death House, but there's been a few where we haven't had priests, though, so...
Yeah, we just get, like, priest-like figures.
Or none at all. There was a few where we had none at all, I feel like. Mm-hmm. Anyway, mm-hmm. This dude calls for backup, and we find out that a family is missing without a trace. The girl is covered with someone else's blood. And at one point, the cops look at the paramedics, and they go, whose blood is on the girl? As if, like, these dudes, or this dude, this singular dude, could possibly know that. This just happened.
Right. Like, he's like, oh, I did all the research while you guys were gone. All of the CSI
goes,
work.
Hey, buddy, isn't that your fucking job? Let me do mine.
Fair statement. Very fair statement.
Then we get a long intro. We get introduced to Jeannie, who is the mom, the main character of the... Or not the main character of the movie, but I guess one of them. I'd say she's like the second or third main mm-hmm. character, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I would say so.
She's played by Pascal Hutton, who is Beth Ann in Ginger Snaps 2. And her son Adrian, a.k.a. Stevie from mid-90s, like you said, and mm-hmm. we also have a chick named Portia. She is the housekeeper in the movie. She's played by Rukia. It's probably Rukia.
Ooh,
Rukia Bernard. That's a cool name, okay. Rukia. I might be saying that wrong.
What's her last name?
Bernard. Yeah, that kind of falls off. But okay. Okay. She's Simone in that new Showtime TV series Yellow Jackets. Isn't that where you know?
Oh, right. I did. Yes, Yellow Jackets is also fire.
And that's
where
you know
Lachlan
show, from,
Yellow
right?
Jackets was good. Oh.
Is that what you said?
No, but now I'm starting to think he wasn't.
Oh, is he?
No, he wasn't in Yellow
What'd
Jackets.
What'd you say you knew
no,
him
no,
from?
No, he wasn't in Yellow Jackets. Lachlan from Scary
I thought
Movie.
You saw him in something else. Oh, wait, was it Neil McDonough who was in?
Neil McDonough was in Yellowstone.
Oh, okay, I knew you said
that's
someone in this was in Yellow something, yeah. So that's what was on my mind.
For a second, though, you made me believe that Lachlan was in Yellow Jackets, and then I was like, hold on, no. The tone of that was way more serious than what he would
I
be
feel
in.
Like he could,
but Yellow Jackets
I feel like
good.
He could still be in it.
I don't know, man.
He played Hal Cooper in Riverdale.
But you also did screw up, because Jeannie's name is not that. It's Hillary Barraford.
Oh, you're right. That's 100% Hillary Barraford. I'm sorry. Anyway.
Just want to clear that.
These people are moving into the new house. Nothing matters aside from we meet our characters, we see the house, but then we see thousands of flies. More flies than we've ever seen in any Amityville movie, and there was one other Amityville movie where there was basically a tornado of flies.
There was, and which one was that?
You know, I was trying to remember that too. I remember the priest seeing it, and I feel like they... Was it two? No, dude. It was a later one, I believe.
Okay.
Because there were a fair amount of flies in the early ones. I don't know. Kim, I want to rewatch all these. I feel like our momentum fell off. Once I get over there onto that
good
side,
as it should. Let's hope it dies.
I want it to keep. It's just been, you know, things have been difficult, Kim. I've been in a weird place.
We all have. I feel that, man.
It's all right.
I wouldn't mind if this momentum.
No, it's
died.
All right. Once I rent a house, you'll come over for like a week, and then we're just gonna
over for a week.
We'll watch an Amityville a day or two a day, and we'll record them too, and we'll get like 14 down in a week. You know that's a good idea.
Remember when you said this about California, and then we watched no Amityvilles?
That was different.
We just drank and like
we did
play games with Brie and Migs.
We did
and made our own movie.
This time will be different.
I don't know. Week's a stretch. I feel like I can only do like 3 days of Amityville at a time.
Kim, but what if we got 14 done in a row? That would be like such a big weight off your shoulders. 14 Amityvilles in 7 days.
Oof, that'd be rough. But it would get a huge
That would
weight
get us up
shoulders.
To like 28. We would only have what, like 22-ish left at that point?
That's so depressing when you
quantify
everything.
Okay, but then the next month you come up for another week, another 14, boom. We only have like 8 left.
You're right. We could crank out like everything in
we
3
could.
Months.
We really could. Do a 3-month.
Are you going to allow me to, though, is the thing.
I'm down. If you want to do a 3-month run when we're closer to each other and we just fucking pound these things out. I mean, the listeners won't hear them as often as we will, you know? Like, it'll take a while for them to get to all of it. But we could be done on our side of things.
Which is fine. I wouldn't mind that because I want to get back the Child's Plays and Don't Blink.
I think the Amityville is way more fun, but the thing is though, like we would be, I'd be fine with it because we would get back to the other things, but we'd still also be doing Amityville because they're still going to come out. But like, we wouldn't have to like, there wouldn't be as much pressure, you know?
Pressure. Yeah. Yeah. It's the pressure I think that gets to us. Like it's knowing that we have this huge mountain
it's
ahead
knowing
of
that the longer we take the worse it's gonna get
it's gonna get. I agree so I'm down.
Yeah,
we'll make
I think
it happen.
We need to plan out like a 3-month venture where you just come out for a week at a time each month and we go fucking ham on this.
Fair.
Okay, so let's get back to this. Let's get this one done as fast as possible.
Okay. This will not be a 3-hour episode.
It's already on its fucking way, Kim. So we see so many flies. Next up, we meet Angela, who's played by none other than Jodelle Ferland. Then we meet Angela, who's played by none other... Let me drink some water. Dude, I'm having like acid reflux like constantly lately. It's destroying me.
It's because you chugged a whole bottle of rosé like a white woman in the Hamptons on like her retirement party. Really try to channel your East Coast. You're not in Boston yet. When you do go to Boston, you definitely have to do a weekend trip with Ash and Elena and Drew to the Hamptons and take a video of you all in fedoras. I just would personally like that.
I used to have
I think it's what the people need.
You know, I used
need.
To own like 12. I had a whole collection of fedoras.
I don't know if that makes me hate you or love you even more.
It makes me hate me.
I hope you have photos. If you have photos, will you please send them to me?
I don't think I do. I've like tried to find a lot of my ridiculous photos from the past, and I don't know if they exist. Like someone might have them
somewhere. Does Brie have any, you think?
No. When me and Brie broke up, we literally are pissed about it all the fucking time.
You deleted all the evidence?
We had tons of photo booth pictures, too, and we both had copies of them when we fucking ripped them up, like, individually.
Ripped them apart. Okay, well, do you think you own any of the fedoras still, or did you get rid of them all?
They're all gone.
Okay, well, maybe I'll, like, write a letter to Ash and Elena to say, buy, like, the most expensive fedoras you can and have them ready for when Caleb moves out there, because I need a photo. Just like you're going to do a photo of us in the cornfields, when you get on the East Coast, it needs to be, like, all white fedoras and, like, boat shoes. I would love that.
I don't even know if I want to go to the East Coast, man. Boston people are weird.
Oh, Boston's awesome. The East Coast is great.
It is, but everyone's just like, I'm going to park my car.
Hey, again, wait till what you're about to get yourself into here in the Midwest. You're going to be whistling a different tune here.
I might just come back to California. You never know.
I don't blame you. I do love Cali.
I feel like that's kind of how I'm seeing it. I'm like, I'm definitely at least going to be like Midwest East just for like the next few years or something. But if I really do hate it, I'm like, I'll just come back.
California's pretty great.
Yeah.
I do love the East Coast, though. East Coast is pretty sick.
Yeah. I mean, we'll see. I mean, like, I want to try it out, see how it goes, so.
Oh, last thing before we get back to this movie. You got to get Pepper a fedora, too. Like a mini one.
Okay.
Or Ash and Elena do.
Yeah, I'll get Pepper one.
Slater Chop. All right, cool.
That's cool. I can do
Anyways.
That. Okay.
All right, we're doing an hour more of this. We're not doing 3 hours of this.
Yeah, let's fucking go. Next up, we meet Angela, who's played by none other than Jodelle Ferland, who, like we said, is probably most known from the Breaking Dawn chapter of the Twilight series, among the other things we mentioned. I'm not going to get back into her. I'm going to get back into her. You may know her from Carrie remake. She's little Carrie. Or as the little dead girl in Cabin in the Woods, aside from, like we already mentioned, Silent Hill. Anyway, Angela is laying in bed texting her friend named Pandy.
Pandy.
That's the only
like panda.
That's the only name that I remembered off the top of my head from this movie.
100%.
Right 100% when it started,
when I was watching it, I was like Pandy.
Came right when it started, and she started texting her friend. I went, "Is this fucking Pandy?"
Pandy. It's because me, you, and Hillary went in on the name Pandy and the way she walks for like 10 minutes.
Oh, she's the worst. I fucking hate Pandy.
Yeah, Pandy's fucking terrible.
Okay,
Pandy might be like if we were to make a woat list of all the Amityville like characters and all the ones, Pandy would be on it.
Is Pandy an anything else? Oh, she actually has almost 30 credits.
She didn't look recognizable to me. Oh.
Littlest Pet Shop?
It's like allfuckfam.com.
What's Littlest Pet Shop? A World of Our Own. Oh, why was I thinking Little Shop of Horrors? Littlest Pet Shop is like the little pony fucking thing. I clicked on it. I went, wait, that's not what I'm thinking of. Wow.
Hilarious.
Well, fuck Pandy is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, we don't like her.
I do not like Pandy. Sorry. Anyway, when she's done texting Pandy, she hops on her bike and she heads to her place of work, and her boss says, "Hey, I know your dad is sick and stuff, but can you go and babysit at the haunted house down the street? Sorry that your dad's dying."
Oh yeah, by the way, my bad. She's actually a shitty friend.
Who was?
Pandy.
Oh, Pandy? 100%. Well, that wasn't Pandy talking to her, I know.
Oh. Here we go, Caleb. Here we go. Here we go.
It started already. So hesitantly, the woman convinces Angie, because I don't know who the fuck this woman is. It's not Pansy. They head over to the house, and on her way over, she comes across Panda, and immediately the first words out of her mouth made me want to vomit, because she goes, "Don't get your panties in a wad." And then, Kim.
I forgot they're all supposed to be hicks.
No. Pandy is a hick for one line and never does it again.
But we'll get to her brothers, right? That like pull up / boyfriend, which we couldn't figure out. That like pull up.
Okay, wait, you're right. I was gonna say, wasn't that her boyfriend? But you're right. That might be. Is that her brother? I don't know.
We think it's her brother. At first, you said boyfriend, but I think it's her brother.
No, I thought it was her boyfriend.
No, I think it's her brother.
Are you
sure? She's embarrassed that she's gay. Yeah.
I'm no,
almost positive it's supposed to be her
it's
brother.
It's her boyfriend, and he's embarrassed because she's gay.
I don't know. I think Hillary and I were on the side of it's her brother.
Fuck. I don't know. I don't think they're ever clear about that.
They're not. They don't explain it.
Okay, so Pandy and wait. They walk off together, and wait, is her name Angie? Oh, yeah, Angie, whatever. Angie lets Pansy know that she's babysitting at the Briar House, as they call it. Which, by the way, that's the alternate title for this, I believe, which should have been the name of the movie.
Yeah, because The Unspoken, which you guys will talk about in a bit, is so fucking stupid.
Did we ever figure out what that meant before? Oh, because the kid doesn't speak.
Yeah,
because the kid doesn't fucking speak.
And like, we didn't even realize it until like we were talking and we're like, oh, this is a metaphor.
This is only called The Haunting of Briar House in the UK.
And that sounds way cooler. We talked about this, I think. Like, that sounds way cooler if they would have left it as The Haunting of Briar House.
100%. And I guess maybe some of these other titles could say The Haunting of Briar House in a different language and I just can't read it. But I kind of feel like it doesn't, because most of these say, like, El Origen, Del Terror, and Amityville. So, like, and yes, I purposely did not. I might be a Mexicano, but I do not speak like one.
It's okay. I'm a lousy Asian myself. I don't speak any Korean.
You know, man, some people just, they, you know, we don't got it.
Yeah, we don't. We don't got it.
And the thing
we
is,
don't.
You know, some people don't got it and they still attempt it. I don't.
Mm-hmm. I don't try to see.
I feel so much worse when I try to attempt it.
Yeah, you can't. It doesn't work. Fake it.
No.
I was at a bar a couple weeks ago, and this guy came up to me, and he's like, "Oh, what's your ethnicity?" Whatever I said, part Korean, and he's like, "Oh, I lived in Korea for a couple of years and started speaking Korean." And I went, "Whoa,
bring it back, step it back."
I literally go, "I said I'm Korean. I didn't say I could speak it," and then I just walked away.
Yeah. Anytime I ever tell someone that I'm Mexican, they start speaking in Spanish immediately, and I go, "Okay, wait."
You're like,
hold
"That
on.
Doesn't mean I can speak Spanish."
Hold on, buddy. Hola. Let's get that out of the way.
You're like, biblioteca. Shout out to all of our Hispanic and Asian listeners. We love you.
So, yeah, I don't know. I think this is just called Amityville everywhere, which doesn't make sense. Can we just spoil it now? The only tie this has to Amityville is that there's a sign at the end that says Amityville as they're leaving the place that the entire movie took place in.
The last 5 seconds of the film.
Because the movie takes place in a house called the Briar House.
Yeah, they kind of pull a Conjuring with this one where, like, nothing really has to do with Amityville. Yes. And in the last 5 seconds, they're like, Amityville. And then they add it into the Amityville universe.
Yes, that's all it is. And I can't imagine that there aren't at least 15 more movies on this list that have that same thing. But, I mean, to be
totally
fair, the movies like these do take it a step further, and they call it Amityville in some places. Like the next movie, Sickle, that's also Amityville in some places. I bet they're going to do the same thing with that.
That one we've already talked about, but you uploaded the reaction video. Like, we verbally said that one's going to be our roughest one we know.
I don't know if I uploaded it yet. I think I might have accidentally done it and then deleted it, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, I didn't watch it. I just saw the notification. But that one's going to be really rough.
I think, guys, I uploaded that on accident and then went, oh, wait, no, we didn't even re-record Unspoken. And I deleted it, like, immediately.
Well, you guys will find out in due time. But, yeah, Sickle, same thing.
So they walk off together. Angie lets Pandy know that she's babysitting at the... Oh, I already said that. So she already...
They kiss. They make out.
Yeah, yeah. So Angie lets Pandy know that she's babysitting at the Briar House, like we said, and then Pandy advises against it before leaning in to kiss her. And then her homophobic friends and maybe boyfriend pull up, and they press her. She turns on Angie, and she goes, "Get the fuck out of here! You're gay, dude." She's like, "You'll pay for being gay, basically." Like, that's what she said, right?
Pretty much. She just, like, shits on Angie for being gay.
It's like, bro, everyone just saw you make out with her. They know you're gay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, and I remember when I first watched this, in my notes, I put, anytime three guys pull up in a pickup truck and hop out, it's never a good thing.
Especially when they're leaning out the windows of the pickup truck, and then they jump out through the windows. They don't open the door.
Yep.
Always
coming
a problem.
Coming from the Midwest, never a good sign.
Nope, not good at all. So while they're berating her, the dude who I assumed was Pandy's boyfriend questions the note that Pandy took from Angie, and it says, you know, the Briar House's address. And they go, "What do you fucking have that, dude?" And she goes, "Well, you know, she's going to babysit there." And they go, "Ha, ha, 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 I just went there. No one lives there, buddy." And she goes, "Well, I think they just bought it." They go, "What? Is that how real estate works? You could sell a house at any given moment?"
Yeah, and then we find out why that house is so important to them.
It takes a bit, but you're right. We do. You know what? I want to skip right to that. You're so right. Because this shit's...
It's important to talk about now.
This is fucking stupid. I mean, they're gonna... Because on the other side of things, Jeannie... No, what's her name? Angie. She's gonna go to the house. Mm-hmm. She's gonna meet Jeannie, her son Adrian. They're gonna have, like, this little talk, blah, blah, blah. We'll get into the specifics of it. Basically, they're meeting. None of that really matters as much as the other shit that's gonna happen. So we'll get into why they want to get into this house in 1 second. But before this, okay, so she's trying to find Adrian, but Adrian has a thing where, first of all, he doesn't speak, like we said.
Mm-hmm.
But he's also likes to hide places. So the mom thinks he's hidden under a bed somewhere. In reality, there's this guy named Elon walking around, and Elon...
No. They not yet. His name is the Handyman.
Ah, you're right. Okay, his name is the Handyman, and she says at one point, I think he's a creep, but he's the only handyman I could hire. So,
like, there's only one handyman in the nearest entire town. You know, town
of
or Breyer. Area.
Where the fuck is it? I don't even know. It's not in Amityville.
Nope, no idea. Yeah, there's only one handyman, and it's this guy.
So she goes, "Yeah, he's a fucking creep, but he's here." At one point, Adrian leaves the house, and he ends up in like this forest because they're probably on like an acre of land or something, maybe more.
Yeah, it's quite a bit of land
because it looks like there were some trees going out for a while, and it seemed mm-hmm. like it was mm-hmm. theirs, you know, and there weren't any houses yeah. by them. So he's out in this forest area, and Angie is walking around also looking for Adrian, but she ends up outside and she hears, "What the fuck? What are you? You're not gonna fucking talk to your mother, but you're gonna fucking talk to me." And then, oh wait, you know what? I'm wrong.
He's shaking
you up. Know what? I'm so wrong. She doesn't hear that. She just sees she sees the tree swing just kind of swinging.
Oh,
but
right,
now that I think about
right.
it, I think the reason I thought that is because he is screaming at him right next to that swing, and she's two feet away, and somehow she doesn't hear it until she gets right there.
Mm-mm. So, and he's like violently shaking.
He's shaking Adrian. Him. Adrian's nose is bleeding. He's like, "You're gonna fucking talk to me. You better tell me everything." And she goes, "Excuse me, Jeannie, come over here. Please come over here right now." And then she walks over, and then immediately Elon kind of just cuts it off and goes,
"No, the handyman."
You're right. I'm gonna call him Elon. Just get over it. You're right. He's the handyman. Okay.
We have to explain that at some point, though. But anyways.
So the handyman interjects and he goes, "Yeah, I just found him out here in the forest and I chased him and then he fell and his nose started bleeding." And Jeannie goes, "Oh my God, oh my God. You know what, Angela, can you go home, come back tomorrow? There's just a lot going on right now. Like, we'll try again tomorrow." She leaves. Yeah. This whole time that this is going on, Luther, which is the main dude who I don't know is either her, it's either Pandy's boyfriend or brother, but he's the main dude in the group. His other dudes are, mm-hmm. I don't know, it's like Randy and...
Rodney and...
Rodney.
Tucker?
Logan.
Something, I don't know.
Rodney and Logan. Logan. Tucker.
Tucker.
Close Tucker enough. And Bucker?
Yeah, pretty much.
So, fucking Tucker and fucking his gang... They're all standing at the top of the hill, just kind of looking down at the house, and they go, "We got to get in there because our stuff is in there." And then Penny goes, "Stuff? What stuff are you talking about?" He goes, "You don't want to know. I'll tell you later." And she goes, "No, you got to tell me now." And he goes, "Either I'm going to fucking throw you down this hill or we're all going to tell you later." I don't know what he says, but he's just being so dramatic. They walk 3 feet away, and then he goes, "All right, so... we put our stash in there." She goes, "Stash? What do you mean, stash?"
He's like, "My mustache.
My mustache." the one on my face.
But also, like, why is your stash in this haunted house?
What his explanation was that the cops would never look in an abandoned house. But I'm also thinking, I don't think, like, it seemed like the cops kind of knew Luther. But I think they just think he's an asshole. I don't think they think he has a giant drug ring. And also, he never says what kind of drugs he has. I feel like Luther has an ounce of weed in there, and he's hyping it up to be like some fucking giant cocaine stash or something, like something that's going to get him put away forever.
He also didn't specify what type of stash. What if it was just like a porn stash?
Not what type of stash, not how much is in there. Like, it could just be one porn magazine. One porno.
Like, no, it's like some Pulp Fiction shit. Like, the suitcase will never know it's in there.
They open the basement door and gold is just shining out of it.
I have an idea, because we do this on a lot of the Amityville episodes. You need to, when you release this episode, you should post a poll of, like, multiple choice worst places to hide your stash. And one of them has to be a haunted house. Let's see what our listeners answer. Because to me, it seems like a haunted house would be the worst place to put your stash. Besides the, like, police station.
Yeah.
Like, it has to be right there.
Look.
It's not just an abandoned house. It's a haunted house. A well-known haunted house.
I haven't had to hide anything in a long time, but I feel like unscrewing my electrical outlets and shoving some shit, like, in my walls is just a better solution than an abandoned house.
It's not, but it's not an abandoned house. It's a well-known abandoned haunted as fuck house. Like, they all know that this house is haunted. The whole town does, except for Angie, apparently.
Yeah. So There are a lot of good points here. Should we also
mention... Everyone knows this house is haunted but Angie.
Should we also mention that after Angie leaves and after Jeannie takes Adrian inside, Elon walks across this tree that's filled... Don't give me that fucking face. I'm not calling him goddamn Mr. Walker. Or Handyman, or whatever the fuck you want me to call him.
Oh, yeah, it is Mr. Walker. He has two names before they introduce Elon.
And then it also says, you know, whatever. He walks across this tree, and there are so many flies.
Oh, yeah, there's just, like, a swarm of flies by the tree, and then it, like, never explained, and they never come back.
I think it's because there's a dead dog right under the tree.
Oh, right, there is that dog.
Yeah.
But also, like, they never come back.
No, the flies specifically don't come back, but I do feel like these ones were just more natural flies than supernatural flies, yeah, you know what I mean?
True.
Yeah, right under this tree and where all the dead flies are, there is a decomposed demon-looking dog, and there is also, like, the flies are not only just on the dog, they're also on a upside-down pentagram that is carved into the tree in blood.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Elon tries to take a drink, and this demon dog rips half of his face off.
And we have to explain why we keep calling him Elon and Handyman, and Caleb and I keep yelling at each other. So for the, what, probably first 20 minutes of this movie, this man is introduced as the Handyman / Mr. Walker. And then for some reason, out of nowhere, after 20 minutes, they just start referring to someone as Elon. And we're just supposed, yes, to know that that's the Handyman.
That is a very real thing that happened.
They don't explain who Elon is. So for like 10, I don't know about you, I think we talked about this with Hillary. For 10 minutes, I was watching this trying to figure out who the fuck Elon was.
No, I feel you. It wasn't until I looked it up on IMDb and I saw, oh, it's that guy.
And of all the names they could have picked, Elon.
Oh, and speaking of him, Pandy asks, well, what about the man walking around out back? And Luther goes, oh, yeah, well, Rodney was scared of the haunted house, so we had to leave an offering outside of the house. And she goes, a sacrifice? Or something like that? He goes, yeah, we killed a dog.
Yeah, they did all of that and engraved that shit.
They did all that
just so
they could leave a bag in a basement.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The fuck are you talking
of,
about?
Of weed. And, well, here's the thing. We don't know if it's a bag. We don't know what it is.
I swear to God, it's a bag of weed. What if it was just...
I'm gonna go with porn. Okay,
what if it was alcohol?
Burnett's vodka.
It's
one bottle of Seagram's.
No, it's 1/3 of a bottle of Tito's.
No. Tito's is too classy for
you're
them.
Right,
it's like
you're
Skull.
Right. No,
it's like the plastic bottle Skull.
Kim, it's a warm... It's a warm Miller High Life 40 ounce.
Yeah. Yes, facts. In like one red solo cup.
Oh my God. They're like
in like a one hitter.
They're like, dude, I can't lose my fucking stash. It's a pen cap.
That would literally, I'll be honest, if I was in high school, that'd probably be on par with my stash.
100%. My stash was like a pen cap and like a gram of weed. I was like, bro, I'm fucking balling.
But at least I wasn't dumb enough to hide it in a haunted house.
No, I put it in like a giant teddy bear or something like that.
Yeah. I dug a hole in my backyard and put it there. That should be another poll question. Where did you hide your stash when you were in high school?
I like the hole in the backyard. That's wild. Did your parents just see you digging at one point? They're like, what the fuck is she doing?
Okay, I'm being dramatic. It wasn't a hole. But I know my friends and I, we had them in a speaker. We like put them in the back of our speaker.
Nice.
That was one of our stash places. We didn't do the hole, but... Yeah. Oh, sometimes we'd put them in the mailboxes and our friends would just drive by and pick it up.
Mm-hmm.
That way, like, there was never any interaction. Our parents wouldn't know. I think my mom caught on and was like, why are you checking the mail so much? But I was like, it's none of your fucking business. This is my house. I get mail too. And then I pistol whipped her and we haven't spoken since.
Wow. Okay. So before the conversation finally ends, Luther goes, well, looks like we don't have any other option. We gotta break in with everyone home and take our eighth of weed back. And they already know. They already know that Angie is a low-key lesbian and has a thing with, or no, not yeah. A Pandy. Pandy has a
Pandy.
Thing with Angie. So it's, dude, just tell her to get it.
They also just like go. I mean, we'll get into it in a few minutes, but they go from like 0 to 100 so quick. Like they just keep escalating quickly with each scene.
I agree.
They're like, okay, we need to hide a stash. Let's kill a dog. Okay, we need to get the stash.
Let's kill
stage
every
an armed
single
robbery
person
break
inside
in.
Of the house to get our weed back.
At one point, Luther after he just whips out like rifles and knives. I think he has a machete in his hand at one point. He's like, all right, we have to murder people.
And everyone else is confused.
Yeah, his friends are like, wait, what? Like, I thought we were just going to get the stash. Why do we have to murder people?
And he goes, well, we went this far, right?
Here's the thing. I feel like even if they really wanted to, they probably could have just knocked on the door and explained to Jeannie, we left some shit down there before you moved in. And she probably would let them go get it.
100%. Or just grab it for them.
Yeah. Yeah. But he's like, no, we gotta kill some people.
You have to kill every
single
one of them.
So that's where we're at in the movie.
The next day, police are at the residence led by none other than Neil McDonough. He's the main cop dude in the movie. And after he investigates, Officer Bauer goes in and lets Jeannie know that Elon hasn't been found, but they did find his flask, and he's the town drunk, and they think he was scared off by the copious amounts of dead animal bodies surrounding the property, which we only saw one, but he goes, yeah, there's dead animals everywhere.
Casually.
So Jeannie gives Angie an offer to leave. She declines and nearly gets decapitated by a bag of marbles.
Yeah, the marbles were stupid.
It's a thing that's going to come around.
It keeps coming in, and I'm like, that's kind of lame. I don't get it.
And I also think it's so weird that when Adrian had a nosebleed the day before, she's like, okay, Angie, you got to come back later. There's too much going on right now. But then when someone's missing in her backyard and there's a ritual with
totally
a dead
fine.
Dog and like a pentagram totally on her tree, you know, and it's cool. We're chilling.
I figured it out.
What?
Adrian got in to the stash in the basement, which was coke. His nose starts bleeding. Mr. Walker, aka Elon, got jealous because he had been going into the stash and getting his fair share. He was pissed.
And he's yelling at him. He's like, "You're not gonna tell. You're not gonna talk to your mom. You're not gonna tell your mom where the coke is. You'll fucking tell me where
exactly.
it is."
Exactly. This all makes sense.
That is a good catch. That honestly makes way more sense
it
than the entire
does.
Plot of the movie.
I wish we were joking.
I'm not even joking. That 100% makes way more sense mm-hmm. than the entire mm-hmm. plot
I
of the movie.
I wish we were actually exaggerating, but we're not.
That sounds so plausible. It's insane.
This is why we need a director on Amityville, because it would be incredible.
Okay, but we got to move on to Portia in the kitchen. We haven't spoke about her much. She's pretty much trying to get through to Adrian. She can't. Adrian likes Angie more. But at one point, she's in the
My
kitchen, and she's cleaning some stuff up. All of a sudden, shit starts shaking around. She goes, okay, this is kind of weird. And then a broom, like, falls next to her. Like, drawers start opening and closing and shit and bouncing around. And then she turns away when the broom falls, and then she looks back, and all of her dishes are just neatly stacked in the kitchen, and she screams and starts flailing her arms up and down and runs out of the house, never comes back.
No, she convulses. First of all, yes. You forgot the iconic line that the kitchen started twerking. And then Portia literally like...
You're right.
And then she just sprints out. We never see her again.
Yeah, she's
Which,
gone.
Shout out to her.
And I think it's so funny, too, because this could have been so much worse. The ghost could have like thrown the dishes or something.
Yeah.
They just neatly stacked them.
I would have been happy. I would have been like, my job's done. I can go home earlier. But also,
right?
we left this out in the beginning, but Portia mentioned that she was the housekeeper there from the old family. So she should know that the house is haunted. I guess we're confused as to why she's so shook by all of this.
Wait, she was there from the previous Breyer family house? I thought she was their old... No, she couldn't have been, because remember when she was showing up to the house and she went, it took me 30 minutes to find this house because I was confused and couldn't find it? There's no way she was from the old Breyer house. I think she was their previous housekeeper.
Oh, I see. I thought she was like the housekeeper there before for the previous family. That makes more sense.
No, she was definitely just like their housekeeper previously.
I see. But shout out to Portia, because she leaves and she never comes back in the movie. Usually they always come back, and it's like, why? Portia actually finally did the right thing and was like, I'm not coming back. I don't need to see any more here. Even though the reasoning was stupid.
So after she leaves, the mom also leaves, and then Pandy shows up, and Pandy wants Angie to accept her apology. Angie wants Pandy to leave, and then we hear insanely loud thumping coming from upstairs, so she's like, get the fuck out of here, I gotta go check this out. And it's like, what is going on? At that point, Pandy should have left, been like, you know what, the stash isn't happening, this house is definitely
haunted. Like, also, if I heard really loud thumping, I wouldn't tell my friend/girlfriend to leave. I'd be like, come upstairs with me so I'm not alone.
That's probably true.
Hey, she can fight it on her own. So Pandy doesn't leave, though, yet.
Pandy dies. P- Pandy dies. Pandy tries to go to the basement, and she texts Luther and goes, about to get the stuff. And he goes, don't fucking forget it. Get all of it. She goes, gotcha. And then she gets force choked and then thrown down the stairs.
I love how he said, don't forget it. Like, that was her whole point of coming to the house, buddy. Like,
oh, you know, I think he said, get all of it or something like that.
He's like, I know you're going to be busy fucking Angie, but make sure you don't forget the stash while you're there.
And then when she, after she gets thrown down the stairs, the door closes and then her phone gets like vacuumed under the door.
Solid kill. Wasn't terrible.
I guess she just went, a door just closed.
Know,
what are you
I
talking
know.
About? Nothing
I know.
Happened.
I was trying to think of a win, okay?
Okay, well, that's fine.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
So Adrian's gone at the moment when Angie gets upstairs, and it seems like he's locked in the closet, but of course, standard Paranormal Activity movie rules apply. So he's hiding under the bed, and then he proves that there's actually a ghost in the closet because like his marble starts rolling under the bed, and she goes, oh my god, you've been here all along? Because she's sitting next to the door for probably like 2 hours before she realizes he's under
what
the bed.
What pisses me off, and I'm just going to like spoil it now, is that this movie makes you think that the house is possessed the whole time. And then at the end, it's just like, no, the family's possessed and they travel to different houses. And I'm like, but that doesn't stick with the storyline because the last family was apparently murdered because of this haunted house.
Was that? I think people just wait.
You know what I mean? Because the whole storyline at the end is that the mom and the son traveled and they do this to different houses. They're headed to Amityville next.
Yeah, yeah.
And they're like alien travelers.
But why do they think the Bry House is haunted? Is it just like a town rumor?
Well, that's what I'm saying. It's a plot hole in this. It's a hole in the plot line. Like, it doesn't make sense because they make it seem like the house is just that. It's a haunted house that everyone knows about and all this paranormal shit happens.
Yeah, yeah.
But then why is the focal point not that at the end?
Yeah. You know, I'm not going to lie. Like I said, I fell asleep for the last 20 minutes, so I'll have to see the notes to kind of remember some of this, but I'm trying to remember the relevance between, because there's going to be a whole thing, and I know we're spoiling a lot right now, but who fucking cares? This movie's so fucking stupid. There's going to be a thing at the end where Lachlan Monroe, who, by the way, his credit in the movie is Dad. He does not have a name. He's listed as Dad. Greg. Oh my god. But we're going to find out later that he kind of like was in the house. Did he grow up in the house?
No, remember his wife was the old housekeeper. The mom. Because remember, she finds all that shit in the garage of like her mom's, and she finds the photo that matches the house.
But there was a photo of him as a kid too, right? Wasn't he the kid in there? Or no, is
we
that
thought,
what we got confused
we thought,
of? We thought he was the kid?
This was really messy.
So
this was messy, yeah. Because it makes you think for a second that the dad is somehow linked to the hauntings. Again, this makes it makes no sense if you put it all together.
But no, you're right.
It was his wife.
Yeah, his mom was a
and
housekeeper.
And she killed herself
at the house.
Because
She killed herself because
she got so possessed and saw all the shit from the last house and no one believed her. Which, again, makes no sense because the whole plot line at the end, or the whole, I guess it's supposed to be a plot twist, is that the mom and the son are the possessed ones. So it doesn't make any sense.
No, you're right. Because
unless they're just possessed and only travel exclusively to already possessed houses, which is just stupid in itself and doesn't make any sense.
Wait, but maybe that would make sense because at the end they're going to Amityville.
I know. Again, it would make sense, but it's still stupid. Like, it doesn't make any sense at the same time.
Okay, well, I guess let's just move on. So Angie leaves. She gets, and she leaves with Adrian. You know, she picks him up. She's like, all right, we got to go. There's a demon here. And Jeannie goes up and checks too and doesn't find anything. What doesn't matter? Okay, so Angie leaves. She gets stopped by Trailer Trash on her way home, which is Luther and his gang. And they kind of bully her. They nearly run over her bike. But then Neil McDonough shows up and he arrests Luther for driving with a suspended license. So Angie goes home and she tells her dad that she took the part-time job. And he's like, what the fuck are you talking about?
He freaks out like bones.
And then he freaks out a little bit at first. I wouldn't say he's bones yet, but he's kind of freaking out. And then she goes, well, I'm helping out this kid. You know, he doesn't speak anymore after his father died and blah, blah. And he calms down real fast. And he goes, well, I think that's a really good way to spend your time. I think that's a really good thing you're doing. And then she goes, well, it's at the brows. And he goes, what the fuck? Don't you ever step foot in there again. Sell the house. Sell the house. Sell the fucking house.
Like, she can just sell the house. Shout out to Bones.
Shout out Bones,
If you don't know what we're talking about, go back and listen to the Bones episode for the full 2.5 hours that we recorded and then come back.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, he goes full on Greg here. He channels Greg. He goes crazy.
He goes, did you step foot in that house? You are not to have anything to do with that house or the people in it.
So this is kind of where, like, you start. I don't know about you, but for a slight moment, I was intrigued. Because I was like, oh, maybe there's going to be some sort of saving grace. Like, maybe there is going to be some sort of plot twist here about him connected to the house.
And I guess there kind of is, but basically Angie decides to look up strange crime stories, which brings her right to an article discussing the disappearance of a family that lived at the Briar house. And it turns out that, okay, like I said, this is where I thought he was like one of the missing kids from the Briar house disappearance, but that isn't what was happening. Yeah. She finds all this out when she sees a cross in the article, which is the same cross on a wall behind her. I guess one of the kids in the family portrait. Again, it looks just like fucking Lachlan Monroe. Like, if you think of Lachlan Monroe as a kid, it's the kid in that fucking picture.
It makes you think for a second the dad was one of the missing little boys from one of the families back in the day. But it's not. Just the crosses.
I really hate that they didn't try to explain that better.
It was so messy. It was very, very messy.
So Marbles roll into a barn, Pandy shoots herself in a dream, and then she wakes up and her finger is cut from dream glass. Not Pandy, but Angie, that is.
What also bothers me, again, I have to reiterate, the whole town apparently knows that this Briar house is haunted, but Angie until now.
She did take a while.
Yeah, no one, like, no one's...
She's the one who's still...
Yeah, no one's mentioned to her that her mom was the old housekeeper and, like, took her life. Like, no one in town has mentioned that. She's never heard it.
Yeah, maybe her dad should have mentioned that when he didn't want her to go
100%.
There. 100%. I don't see why he was hiding it from her, actually, now that I think about it.
Again, it makes you... They do the stupid, almost red herring where they try to make you think the dad is somehow part of the evil, and that's why he was hiding it. But no, he just has no reason not, like, to hide it. It's so messy.
Well, it's that time of the month. Luther's out of jail.
He's out. MGK's out of jail.
So Luther, so this is what Kim mentioned earlier, when Luther grabs a bunch of guns, and it turns out that they're going to murder the family to get their eighth of weed back, and the nerdier friend doesn't want any part of it, and we know this because he says, and I quote, hey man, I'll kill a dog, not a person.
And we talked about this a lot in the first recording, but like, you're just as fucked up.
Kim, and this is when Luther grabs him and he starts screaming. He goes, I got 20 logs in the house. My people are dead serious. Who you think they're going to come after, huh?
So again, the logs would fit with the whole cocaine story, you know?
Cocaine logs? Who calls them
logs?
I feel
like logs is more realistic than like weed or anything else.
I have never heard.
I've never heard of anyone say logs, but I feel like knowing how big batches of coke or
Kim.
It's a stretch.
Kim, no. They're bricks.
I know, it's a stretch. Well, you don't ever see weed, though, on a log. It's in a jar or a bag or, like, a container. It's not in a log.
Nothing is in a
log. It's like Jimmy Dean sausage. It's like...
Kim, I've done a fair amount of drugs, and I don't know what a log
like that,
is. I have
Kim,
never heard of
it's like
heard
the highest
that.
Quality Jimmy Dean sausage that no one can get their hands on.
Oh, my God. Maybe I'm just insanely ignorant and I just don't know this, as much street
it.
Shit
on,
as I think
do
I do, but please look up what a log is.
Well,
you look that up, I'm going
to
pee real quick.
I've never heard anyone refer to drugs as a log, but I guess it makes more sense to me, like powder being bagged into a log than like weed. Hold on. Log slang for drugs.
Kim.
I don't want to see your ass. a large turd. It's just a giant turd. Log. Marijuana log. Okay. That came up. Loaf. Logs. I'm so invested in this. Logs of drugs. Wow. Okay. This is not giving me much. I'm going to do one more search, guys. Drugs. Packed. I hope I don't get flagged by the government. Yeah, nothing's coming up. The only thing that remotely gave me a hit was marijuana logs, which wouldn't that just be like a blunt? you guys tell us. So, Caleb, the only thing that remotely came up, remotely, and this is a stretch, was one article that mentioned marijuana logs, which isn't that just a blunt? There's like one blunt in this basement.
Oh my
There's
God.
There's one blunt.
He has 20 blunts
no,
in there?
No, just one. Just one.
He said 20 logs.
Okay, all right. Fine. Yeah, nothing came up. I don't know what he's talking about.
Because it's not fucking real. It is not real. I can tell you right now, a log is not a thing. That doesn't refer to any type of drug, any type of quantity of any drug. It's not real.
Yeah.
Wow. Anyway, what if it was like 20 dildos? I got 20 logs in there.
Molded after his dick. He's like, no one can have these. 20.
20 custom logs.
I would love that. That would
20 molded
Here's the thing.
Logs.
That would make this movie so much better for me. If it was dildos at the end. And he,
they finally pull it out. It's just
No, he never gets a chance to get to the dildos. Like, the cops come at the end, and it's just dildos. That I would have loved.
They're like, wow, we found this box of fucking schlongs down here,
would have loved that. I think you're right. It's more likely dildos than anything.
It would make a lot more sense.
We're going to go with that.
So, like, three demon things in a row happen. They're all stupid. Doesn't matter. But Adrian finally pops up and freaks Angie out. And they're about to leave right when the gang of trailer trash pulls up to the... they pull up to turn the movie into a home invasion flick.
100%.
And Angie and Adrian run into the basement while Luther and his gang look for them. And around this time, I think we discover that the ghosts are on Angie's side, it seems. Because, well, I mean, we've already spoiled it. They're not ghosts. It's fucking Adrian calling the shots.
Yeah, and he's mute. He doesn't speak this entire movie.
And Kim, I know you didn't pay a ton of attention to it on this second go-around. Mm-hmm. But I did at least like the first hour. And how painfully obvious was it, at least from what you saw, that Adrian was doing
everything? I mean, now looking back on it, I do remember actually a lot of this movie, I will say. Now looking back on it, like, it is pretty obvious. Because, like, even like...
I can't believe I didn't catch on to that even immediately. That should have been the first thing I noticed. But, it, you know, it makes you think it's an Amityville movie. So when you think Amityville, you think, it's the fucking house.
In our defense, at this point, I got so caught up in the messiness of the dad in that fucking mom story that I was more focused on that than even Adrian at this point. Like, he was a forgotten thought to me right now.
That's so true. They do a pretty good job of making him the least important
part of the movie. That is true.
Even though he's supposed to be the whole main plot of the movie.
He's supposed to be the mastermind behind this entire organization.
Oh my God. So at one point, Adrian, because it's not the ghost, shoots nails into the floor above them, which basically leads to one of the guys stepping on a nail, and then he falls into the rest of them. It's brutal, but he's somewhat fine. Like, he's still pretty fine. He could get out of it. He's fucked up. I'm sure it hurts terribly.
He acts like he's, like, he on his deathbed.
I'd say he's close to it if he doesn't get out soon. But Luther finds him and makes an executive decision to leave him on the ground.
Luther's like, fucking keep moving, guys.
And that isn't even the funniest part, because he goes into the other room, and the third dude goes, hey, where's homie at? And Luther goes, he's fine. And the guy in the other room, which is, I'm not... Like, they're not three rooms away from each other. They're not five rooms away from each other. They're 2 feet away from each other, and the guy's screaming, help! And the guy doesn't even know. Luther's like, no, he's fine. He's still screaming help. You can hear the guy louder than Luther saying he's fine.
I'm dead.
And they try to make this, like, a moment of Luther seeming like a, you know, real piece of shit, dirty, tough guy that doesn't have time for his partners. But all it did was make him seem like a complete idiot, because he needs more people for his home invasion. The less people you have, the harder this is.
Yeah, I think
is.
At this point, he's just, like, on one. And he's like, fuck it, now he's on a killing spree. He's like, I'm just gonna kill everybody.
Yeah, he does not care about the stash anymore. He at this point, he goes... I'm killing
also,
you.
Also, like, if you have these 20 logs that we're supposed to assume or are made to believe that are so big, you're not going to be able to take these all out in one swift movement by yourself, buddy.
No. I mean, unless it's 20 blunts. Just toss them in his
pocket. Even 20 dildos you couldn't get all in one sweep.
Wait, but remember when he told Pandy, don't forget any of them? What if he hid them all around the basement? He's like, it's a lot harder to find them if they're all in different spots. The cops will never
Probably.
Know.
It's like a scavenger hunt.
A fucking Easter egg
dildos.
Hunt. So Luther walks down the basement, or more so falls down in the basement stairs and then knocks himself out, which gives Angie and Adrian an opportunity to leave. And we should definitely talk about how trigger happy the dude on the floor
starts,
is.
He because starts going off still, like boom, boom.
Dude, and it's crazy that he's shoot trying to shoot Angie. Angie and Adrian at this point, because I feel like at
I
this
would
point,
ask
if
for
you
help.
Saw a gun, shoot
right,
fucking Luther.
Right. He just starts going off. I would be like, help me get out and I will kill this asshole downstairs. Not, I'm just going to start shooting
Yeah, I'll kill Luther because he fucking left me here. So obviously he's not on my side. I'll be on right. your side now. Instead, they're trying to leave and he starts shooting at them. Bro, you're going to die here.
And I swear to you, his eyes were closed while he was shooting. Like, he wasn't even aiming. He was just like,
100%.
He was doing desk pops all day.
Oh my god.
Incredible. Things went haywire very quickly here.
So I don't know exactly what happens next, but the dude in the nails tries to reload his gun, but as he's reloading it, the ghost force starts dragging his gun toward a tub in the bathroom, and he's like still holding on to it. He doesn't let go. So then the ghost drags him through the nails, throws him in a bathtub, which immediately melts his skin. How hot was this bathtub? And the other dude that isn't Luther, I think that was, I don't know if that was
Rodney.
Logan or fucking Rodney. I don't, mm-hmm. was that Rodney? Well, he's dead with knife stabs mm-hmm. all over his body.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, dead AF. So now it's just Luther.
So Luther wakes up, and he gets kicked in the face, and Angie walks into a closet to look for Adrian, and comes across the weird ghost chick who grabs her face again and screams, God cannot save you!
I forgot about that.
Who was that?
That's the mom.
I forgot about that, too.
That,
who
she was
she?
Her mom, remember? It was
Why?
The ghost of her mom that, like, killed herself.
Why are there ghosts and aliens?
Again, this it's so messy. Like... Pick one lane.
I'm
Pick
not following.
One lane.
Well, doesn't matter because Luther gets back up and he holds Adrian hostage before starting a standoff. A standoff that should have ended in Angie getting shot by Luther, but he has, or she has a force field because Adrian puts a fucking force field around her, quite literally.
I forgot about that also.
Yeah, because he tries to shoot her and it just
stops.
Fucking
yeah,
falls.
The bullet just stops.
The bullet falls off.
So
stops
then he keeps shooting. Wasting his bullets.
No, my. Oh yeah, he shoots like seven more times.
I forgot about that.
Why?
Because he's Tucker or whatever the fuck his name is.
You're right. He's pissed. So he tries to stab through the force field after the gun bullets don't work. The gun bullets, which causes him to be force pushed across the room, and we find out that Adrian's pulling the strings all along. I mean, we already mm-hmm. told you guys that, but he's a Sith, mm-hmm. basically. Mm-hmm.
It's giving Dad from Amityville Haunting vibes here, where he's, like, stabbing the air. Remember when the dad's, like, punching
yes.
the air?
So Adrian starts swinging the chandelier, teasing that he's going to kill Luther, and Angie begs him not to, and then her father shows up. And Hal Cooper says, you have to kill whatever's in there, referring to, like, Adrian. And Angie is at first hesitant. Wait, so does he know... Wait, why is he telling him to do that? Because does he think that this has been around all along? Does he think that the kid, did the kid
Again,
do the haunting
this is
before?
So messy, it makes no sense.
Do you think the kid, do you think they just were at the house before and they haunted whoever lived there? No, but she's a ghost.
Yeah,
so.
And it doesn't make sense why they would then leave and go to Amityville if that was the case.
Yeah, I don't.
No, because they moved in. The whole point was like they physically moved in like the opening scene.
Yeah. Okay, well, whatever. Adrian starts force choking Angie's father, so she tries to stab him, but of course he has a force field, mm-hmm. dummy.
Choking the shit out of him.
And then Genie shows up and finds Adrian standing in the middle of the house staring off, looking like Damien from The Omen, and she casually walks up to him and then rubs his face in an endearing mm-hmm. way. And she finally tells the whole story. She goes, your mom worked for the previous tenants, but when she discovered the truth and couldn't get anyone, including your father, to believe her, she killed herself. But believe what? Were you haunting it? Why do you know this?
Again, messy. Like, it doesn't make sense to me why the mom was
Dude,
so deranged.
I feel like... I know it's so stupid, but I feel like they came back to this house. I feel like they were haunting
maybe,
it before
maybe,
somehow.
Maybe, yeah, and they're, like, different people now.
And then they were... And then later they just decide they're going to move in. And I don't know. It's some part of their plan. It's a
Maybe.
Dumb plan, but I think
that's
that
the only
is
thing
the
that
plan.
Would make somewhat sense, but it still is so stupid.
So she goes on and she says, everyone thought the house was haunted, but humans always assume that
her kind
is just hauntings. So that's when this movie turns into Brightburn. Okay, so you're both
yeah,
Brightburn.
Yeah, she starts talking as if like she's like some like supernatural being. And you're like, my kind? Is she a shapeshifter? Like, who the fuck are you?
Like, okay, Superman, where's their fucking kryptonite? So she says that her Star Wars-like people are what haunted houses actually mm-hmm. are. So I guess in the context of it, she isn't a ghost. But why is the mom a ghost if
it
haunted houses are
again,
a thing?
It makes
I don't
no
get
sense.
It. She says ghosts don't exist, but there has actively been unless is she just conjuring the ghost? Are Adrian
her,
and
her
Jeannie conjuring?
Her argument makes no sense because the whole point that we know from the history of horror films is that ghosts are usually like tormented figures that used to live there that are there for, you know, unfinished business. Like, so...
But this is changing
right,
the game. She
right,
said ghosts
which
don't
doesn't
exist.
Make
she
sense,
makes ghosts.
Which doesn't make sense. You can't make someone. A ghost is a figment of something that
she
already
said ghosts,
existed, usually.
Ghosts don't exist. Weird psychic aliens exist.
Which is fine, but they can't exist in the same universe. Like, that's where I have the problem.
I think she made the ghost. I think... See, I have that problem, too. I get what you're saying, but I think in this stupid world, she made the ghost.
That makes no sense to me. Who is she?
I know, but look... She's an alien, dude. What do you mean? Jeannie's an alien.
Does she make all the ghosts
Look,
in the world?
The end, I think she just means people of her kind do. Like, these aliens come down to Earth and then they make you think that ghosts are haunting a place, but it's just aliens.
That's so stupid. Then how does Amityville fall
well,
into
in
this?
Well, in the end, Jeannie goes, the sign. So in the end, Jeannie goes, haha, you humans have such imaginations. Also, Adrian wants you to come with us. Angie, do you like playing marbles in space? And I feel like this whole thing was just like the end of an anime where they're like, ha 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 ha, you pathetic humans. Like, it's been
well,
so
Adrian's
long.
Still not speaking. So then this is where it all clicks, like, oh, the unspoken is based upon Adrian.
Which I guess should have made sense the second they said he doesn't speak, but I don't know, maybe
yeah,
we're
maybe.
Just stupid. So Cooper shows up, or not Cooper, I was thinking Hal Cooper. Copper shows up, fucking Neil McDonough, and he arrests Angie, and then she suffers the same fate as her mother because the police show up, the family's missing, and it seems like Angie murdered everyone. She just gets
yeah,
arrested.
Isn't she like holding a knife?
Which I think is, yes, and I think that is the funniest fucking so, ending. That is
so
hilarious.
She pretty much
hilarious.
Falls to the fate of her mom where like no one believes her and thinks that she did everything.
That's so funny, honestly. That's fucking funny. And then it finally ends by saying Amityville 14, because I think that was like, or why does it say Amityville 14? Did I put that in, or was
I don't
that
know.
A... Maybe that
maybe.
Was a sign.
Oh, yeah,
I remember the sign said
miles.
Like Amityville
It was
14 something.
Miles from where they were.
Oh,
yeah,
it
was 14
miles away.
Yeah.
Gotcha. That makes sense. Gotcha. So, yeah, they conjuring this bitch. All they did was...
And
Pull
another reason why this movie is so messy is we left this out in this recording. The whole storyline, the whole reasoning for Angie babysitting is to make side money because Lachlan, her dad, is unemployed, but they don't explain why. And he can't seem to get any sort of other job. So she has to make a living for him.
Wait, you're sorry? Because I think in the beginning I accidentally said... Oh yeah, your dad dead or something like that, because that one chick was like, "Oh, go get this babysitting job because your dad's dead." Her dad isn't dead,
yeah.
Her mom's
well,
dead, and he's a well, fucking it, fool who just doesn't care.
In the first
care
recording
for
with
her.
Hillary, you're like, "Yeah, he has cancer so he can't work." And Hillary and I were like, "No, he just got fired and he can't get any
oh,
other job."
Oh yeah, you're right. I thought he had like a disease that was stopping him from working, but he just didn't want
to
work.
He's literally not even trying to find another job. He's just like at home all day crying. It's like, I know people go through hard times,
pissed
but like,
Angie for getting a part-time
yeah,
job.
Like, come on.
Wow. So that was the Amityville Unspoken, I guess just Amityville Unspoken, or The Haunting mm-hmm. of Briar House, which is what it should mm-hmm. be called. That's what it is. It had 6 kills, 0 boobs. The next Amityville is another without an Amityville title. It's going to be Sickle, also from 2015. I don't know what the alternate titles are yet, but we'll talk about it when we get to it. Kim, I know you've already heard this before, but... Augustine Letterboxd.
Yeah.
He rated this a perfect 5 stars and said, a great supernatural thriller that deserves to be in my list of the best horror films of all time.
Oh, Augustine.
Shout out, Augustine.
I just...
what did you rate
I
this one,
remember.
Kim?
I don't
Do
think
you remember?
I rated... No, I rated this one. I think I gave it a star. Hold on. Let's see.
I think I gave it a star and
let's
a
see,
half.
Let's see, because I don't remember. It's been a minute.
I gave it a star and a half, and I feel like I still stand by that because
yeah,
it's not terrible.
It's better
watch.
Than it's all this being said, guys, it's still better than the ones we've seen. The Unspoken. Let me see.
I'd still rather watch Haunting over it.
I think, because Haunting's at least funny. I didn't rate it.
It's fucking
this.
Hilarious.
What the fuck? I thought I rated it.
Oh, really? Just give it a star and a half, Kim. Just
okay,
do it.
Fine.
It's fine.
I'll do it.
Yeah. Okay, I think that's fair. You know, it's not a great movie, but it's fine.
It's fine. Now that we are on the topic of Sicko really quick, I'm sorry to do this, but, like, it's going to be so bad. Like, we need to have at least one other person on the show. Can James do this episode with us? We have to bring someone into our pain for this one.
No,
somebody has to witness. Okay, then
no,
fine.
No,
Bree,
be fine.
Someone. Someone has to witness the pain of Sickle. It's going to be bad. You have it on recording. Watch the reaction video. You're literally like, that's going to be fucking terrible.
It'll be fine. All right, Kim, we have a fuck, marry, kill. We have Elon, the dude that got melted in the bath while he's still melting and still has nails in his body. And you have me.
I'm going to kill the melting dude. I'll fuck you, and I'm going to marry Elon, because he was just trying to do...
It was quick.
Elon was just drinking and trying to do some blow, and, you know, he shouldn't be shamed for that.
I love how quick you came to that conclusion.
As,
you were like, yep, got it.
As soon as you said Elon, I didn't hear anything else. I was like, I'm marrying Elon. It's like, I'm marrying Elon. He's great.
Oh, fuck. So if you guys want to be heard and acknowledged on the show, you can send in a horror movie-related question or story, or just a horror-related story, something like that. You could send it either in, like, typing it out form to horrorsoupyahoo.com, or just record it on your phone and then send it again to horrorsoupyahoo.com. We have a new, very long review from LilyDragon19, and I'm going to read it right now. Actually, I'm going to skip it. I think I read it on the other thing. Fuck. I don't know where it is. I had it screen.
Do you want me to pull it up?
I had a screenshot. I don't know where it is right now. Okay.
Also, while I'm pulling this up, yes, send in your stories. I always love hearing the stories people send in. They're so entertaining. I feel like we haven't gotten one for a minute. What's the name of this podcast? Horse.
I almost feel like someone sent me one in, like, sent something in recently for you.
Oh. Okay, Lily Dragon, you said is the name of the... Okay, all right.
Yes.
Oh, this is long. Holy shit. Okay. If you like horror movies, listen to Horror Soup. I started by just hopping around to episodes and movies I've already seen, but because of them, I've spent the last couple of months watching lots of new horror movies just to listen to the episode about it and get their take. Caleb is the main host, and he's hilarious. He definitely doesn't hold back, so it feels like you're talking with your friends. I don't always agree...
I did show Kim porn earlier.
I don't always agree with him, facts, but it's always good fun.
Drew.
Caleb is also really knowledgeable about outside details, like random stuff about directors, tying in obscure references, production issues, critic reception, etc. Every movie will be different.
Thanks, dog.
Every movie will be different, but it's cool getting those little pieces of info I was never going to look up, LOL. Tips for new listeners. You can definitely hop around. Each episode stands alone just fine. Facts. I will say the episodes get better as Caleb hammers out the format a little more and they drop the soup rating. No one can remember Laffy Face.
Yeah. It's so funny that I tried to bring that up, like, kind of back for a quick second. And I was like, you know what? Because I think a couple people messaged and said, I could have missed the soup rating. I was like, all right, I'll try it again. I think I did it for like 5 episodes and immediately hated it again.
Confusing.
So thank you for saying that, Lily, because you're just really saying what I've always felt.
Shout out. And then the last part is James from The Night Shift is my favorite of the co-hosts. Shout out to James. With Bree in a close second.
Shout out, James.
So those episodes are always favorites.
Damn, James is going to love to hear that. Everyone's always like, oh, what, you're not fucking Bree? Shout out, Lily.
Shout out to Lily. Shout out to James. Shout out to Bree. Somebody else. Ray Higg.
Oh, wait, what? They left a
Ray
review?
Ray Higg said, let's be friends. Thanks.
Well, you sent us porn,
we're friends.
So
I love that I saw that and I was like, who is this?
That's so fucking funny. Okay, well, if you guys enjoy the show, leave a 5-star review. And if it's cool, like, you know, those couple reviews that Kim just read right now, we'll read them right here on the show. That was The Unspoken. So if you want to hear more of me and Kim and, you know, all the other homies, and if you want to hear the episode that me and Kim and Hillary originally did, because I do legitimately think that's a very good episode. It was just it had actual technical issues. Mm-hmm. So I didn't put it out, but that is on Patreon. There's a whole Amityville tier where we do a bunch of stuff. Sometimes I do Amityville stuff with other people, like James hops on for a fair amount of them. Sometimes I do them alone. Kim's pops up for them as well. We watch porn and then an Amityville short called Amityville Cabin earlier. So you can watch me and Kim watch porn together. on patreon.com/horrorsoup. And if you don't know or don't listen, I have another horror movie podcast. It's called Scream with an Exclamation Point. I don't know when this episode's coming out, but I'm sure I'm still bi-weekly on Horror Soup at the moment. So if you want another horror movie podcast to listen to on the weeks where Horror Soup is not releasing, go check out Scream. I made sure that, you know, they go week to week. So you'll still have me doing horror movie stuff every week. And yeah, the best way to keep up with everything Horror Soup is to follow the Instagram at Horror Soup. You can find Kim on Instagram. Kim
underscore shady with three Y's.
Perfect. And I'm on Twitter at Horror Soup Sucks. I am on Letterboxd at Horror Soup Caleb. And Kim is at Kim underscore shady 23.
I think so. If not, it's missing the underscore.
Was that your age?
No, I just used to love 23. Was that your age at the time when you made that handle? I played basketball, so I was stupid.
Oh. Okay. Well, that was The Unspoken. Thank you to Ross Lee for supplying the show with intro and outro music. Kim, you got anything else to say before we head out of here?
No, we love Horror Soup. It's glad to be back. We're back on our Amityville bullshit. Woo!
I know. It feels like it's been a while. Not exactly for us, but I know for everyone else, it's been a while.
Yeah, it has.
And this isn't even coming out for like a month after we recorded it. Like maybe like a month and a half or something. So it's still going to be a while before they hear anything. But hopefully after this, we'll be able to get this going a little more often. I mean, with the whole bi-weekly thing that's going to go on for a while, my idea has pretty much been do a poll for one episode a month. And the other episode's just going to be Amityville.
Yeah. Caleb and I will be physically closer. So hopefully we'll crank out more of these in the future.
It should be. I mean, we'll be on like pretty much the same time.
I think we'll be hour ahead, but it's fine.
Ahead. But yeah, and then we could actually visit each other too. So we'll be able to get this going. Maybe we'll do 14 in a week.
TBD.
Love you, Kim. Love you, peoples. Catch you later.
Grubs up, baby, grubs up. Give me horror soup. Give it, horror soup. Horror soup. Would you like some bread? I'll do you a slice with a pinch of salt. It'll taste really nice. You've done really well, 'cause this stuff tastes just like hell. Swallow it down, it'll fill up a hole. Stick out your tongue and lick out your bowl. We're having a bite with creatures of the night. Grubs up, baby, grubs up. Give me horror soup. Give it. Grubs up, baby, grubs up. Give me horror soup. Give it. Horror soup. Horror soup. Horror soup. We'll keep you well fed. Its gorgeous smell could wake the dead. Vegetable is just forgettable. If your energy's low, you know what to do. Simply double on down some of the spooky stew. We'll wine and dine a hungry Frankenstein. Grubs up, baby, grubs up. Give me horror soup. Give it. Grubs up, baby, grubs up. Give me horror soup, give it, horror soup, horror soup. Let me be your Sweeney Todd, your private chef. I'll be your just dessert. You can even drink it from a cup. I'll do the washing up. I'm getting full. My belly's gonna burn. Give me horror soup, give it. Grubs up, baby, grubs up. Give me horror soup. Give it, horror soup. Horror soup. He can't even look after himself.